Hi, my name is Charles, and I serve here at Transformation Church as one of the executive pastors. And I want to take a moment before we jump into the message just to say thank you, first of all, for watching. It means the world to us that you would be a part, no matter where you're watching from, no matter who you are. I'm believing that this message is going to encourage your faith and hopefully transform your life. If you haven't yet, make sure you take a moment, subscribe to the YouTube channel, not for us, but really for you. We want to be a resource to encourage your faith and be with you on this journey of following Jesus. Again, thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy the message today. I hope it blesses you.
We are in week 4 of a series we are calling Worship on the Word. And somebody said it. Wow. See, I was just trying to see if y'all was going to do it. I'll try it again for y'all. We're in a brand new series. No, not brand new. We're in week 4. Of a series called Worship on the Word.
Wow, there you go.
I love y'all. And because our prayer at the end of this series is that people will be in awe. They would say, wow, by what God does in their life with understanding of worshiping. I say it all the time. It's not the two slow songs at the beginning of church. Worship is our lifestyle. We even have a definition. Worship is our love expressed to God as a response of his grace towards us. And so what I want everybody to do is I want everybody to worship God not on Sunday only. What does your worship look like throughout the week? And if you cannot identify your worship unto God through the week, I dare say you don't actually worship him. If it's once a week when the mood is right, it may not be worship. It may be the atmosphere. It may be my feelings only. But when you worship God on the way, by the way you love people, when you worship God in the way that you give generously, not to the church. Okay. All right. Because anytime y'all hear the word give, you think somebody want money. I'm talking about you knew you were supposed to give that waitress a tip that was over the meal you ate. But in your heart, you are selfish and you're thinking about another pair of shoes that are a different colorway than the 3 you got already. And God was trying to work into you his character, and instead you left your common tip, what they deserve, when God was trying to stretch you through generosity, not in church. He was trying to teach you how to worship him. What I'm asking the church to do is to worship the God who performs miracles. Now, that's important that I say it like that, is because most of us believe that God can do great things. He just probably won't do them for us. Okay. The truth of the matter is, many of us do not believe that the things that happened in the Bible can actually happen today. They are historical stories that are somewhere between Narnia and... You think it's an episode of Bridgerton or something. You have more faith in a made-up story than factual scientific evidence. But for some reason, we believe the things that happened back then were for back then. And I came to say today that we still serve the God who does miracles, signs, and wonders in 2023. Okay. So as we released the song Miracles, I was like, all right, I'm going to preach a message on miracles, signs, and wonders. God, I need you to show me the formula for miracles. I'm going to give a people the formula so they never can ever forget again to not believe. This is how sometimes I pray, because I be wanting it so bad for y'all. I be like, I understand the miracles. I've seen miracles. But how do I export the faith to believe for miracles into somebody who is depressed and hurting? This is how I just be going, but God, I'm just showing y'all right now. Lord, give me the formula. And when I was praying about this, I started to look at the 37 recorded miracles of Jesus in the New Testament. And I started to look at, dang, Jesus was just waking up in the morning, just bow, healed, whop, healed. Hello, my name is Jesus, wow, healed. Like, it was like he was on a rampage, like, of healing. He said, I only got 3 years to prove to y'all that I am the Son of God. So how am I going to do this? Should I hold seminars? Should I build a building? No, I'm going to just go through my regular life transforming people's situations in front of other people. I'm just going to heal the person who was mean, mad, and crippled. I'm going to walk up and say, be healed. And then I'm going to walk off. And they're going to be like, Jerome? Hold on, he got to be the Son of God. Because we know Jerome. And Jerome is the worst of the worst, jacked up, liar, cheater, heartbreaker, like the whole thing. He's transformed. And from town to town, Jesus would do miracles in people's lives. And that's how the gospel began to spread. He healed blind Bartimaeus, the crippled man that was lowered by three of his friends into the house in front of Jesus. And Jesus healed that man. He walked up out of there with the mat he laid on to see Jesus in. The demon-possessed boy, feeding of the 5,000. All these miracles I'm going through and my faith is being stirred. I'm like, okay, God, you're going to show me in the word a formula to give to your people so that they can believe for miracles. And then the Holy Spirit stopped me. He said, Michael, I can't give you a formula. And I said, God, why can't you give me a formula? Because that's how people learn. 2 + 2 = 4. We didn't all go to the same school, but because that formula works, we all know it. So give me a formula. He said, I can't. Because if I give you a formula, watch this. This is the title of my message. It takes the mystery out of the miracle. Today, I want to teach you the mystery of a miracle. See, it's not a miracle if there is not a mysterious part of it. It can't be a miracle if you can explain it. Okay. So now, with that definition, some of the things we're believing for aren't miracles that we need. They're plans that we need. Some of the stuff you're like, I need God to make a miracle. No, you need to start saving money and stop eating out. We don't need a miracle to budget. You need discipline. Okay. Some people are believing, God, I just need a miracle in this area. He said, no, you need accountability in that area. You need accountability right there. The miracle requires something that no one else can do. A miracle has an element of mystery that only God can step into. And so the problem with giving a formula is that if I give you a formula, it would take out faith. If it was guaranteed every time that if I stood like this, bent like this, prayed like this, sang good, good Father, and turned 3 times in a circle, God would do a miracle. Everybody just be like, that's what it will look. That's what church service will look. And it would not take faith because we would have a formula. And God said, I'm not doing it the same way I did it, because if I did it the same way that I did it back there, you wouldn't need faith to believe me. The reason that the miracle cannot have a formula is because the miracle requires faith. If we get a prescription for a miracle, it would take away his presence. If we would put it in a system, it would take out his spirit. And so many of us are believing for a miracle, and God's saying, I'll give you the miracle, but you have to embrace the mystery. You're going to have to be okay with the tension of me saying, do this, and you don't get it. Go here. Why? Embrace the mystery. Go talk to that person. I don't know them. Embrace. You will not see the miracle on the other side of the mystery if you do not obey the instructions that don't make sense. I'm believing for a miracle. I'm embracing the mystery of God. How is God going to do it? I have no freaking idea. No, sometimes it's got to be that clear, y'all. What are you praising God for? The breakthrough he's going to do. When is he going to do it? I don't know. How is he gonna do it? No clue. Where is he gonna do it? I'm waiting to find out as well. But I am wrapping my whole faith around the fact that the character of God is that he has good for me. And there is something on the other side of me embracing the mist. I don't get it. Why am I in Tulsa? Why the heck am I a pastor? Why did you give me a son, the crazy faith guy with autism? I have to embrace the mystery of a God whose ways are not our ways and whose thoughts are not our thoughts. As even as high as the heavens are compared to the earth, he says, my stuff, the way I'm thinking about this, the whole way I got this thing rigged up is so far from the way you think it's about to happen. So instead of trying to figure it out, you need to trust and have faith. Okay. Oh, I feel this thing. I came to encourage you. What God is about to do, there has to be an element that no man can explain. The level of miracle that God's about to do in my life has to have an element that nobody gets. How in the heck did I get to this arena? Nobody understands it because it was a miracle. And God is saying, I need my church to believe that there are doors that only I can open. That there are things that only I have for them. There are mysteries and treasures and ideas and things, but it is not going to be what man thinks it's going to be. Why? Because if man does it, man wants credit. Okay. So if man can explain it, then man gets exalted. And the whole purpose of us having faith in God is so that he can be exalted. So write this point down. Every miracle requires mystery. So God can be magnified. This next season of my life, the reason I'm just standing in crazy faith and embracing anything that God tells me to do in the face of adversity, in the face of comments, in the face of whatever, is because when he stands up strong and says, I've been with him the whole time, it won't be because I did something great. It will give God all the glory. He will be magnified. Deuteronomy 29, 29. It tells us that the secret things or the mysteries belong to the Lord. There are mysteries that God is saying, boy, if they only knew what I have planned for them. They're sad because they're 30 and not in a marriage yet. Oh, if they would just embrace this next 2 years and really get healed. And really dive into their purpose with me. They're going to look up and every year that the cankerworm thought he stole from them, I will restore back to them. You mad because they've been married 10 years. They've been unhappily married for 10 years. But what you about to have, because you do the work on the inside of you, y'all don't hear me, you better embrace the mystery of God. We want to talk miracles, then we got to talk mystery. This is not about what I can plan. I don't want my plan. I want his mysteries to actually be manifested in my life. Okay, I'm talking too big for some people right now. But the Bible tells us that the mysteries belong to the Lord our God. But the things that are revealed belong to us and our children forever. Can I break that down? There's a mystery that God wants to bring a miracle in your life. But after it manifests as a miracle in your life, it's no longer a mystery. So now you have revealed truth of what God wanted to do. And now you can pass that miracle to your children and your children. The truth of the matter is most of our forefathers and parents did not walk in miracles, so they left us empty-handed. You don't know how to believe God because you never saw the people before you believe God and walk in miracles. I am grateful for parents who believe God. And this is what I'm telling you. If you didn't have them, become them. Y'all missed it. So many times we take the victim card. That's why I'm jacked up right now, because I ain't having da 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 da. Let's believe God for a miracle, that he can restore everything that has been broken. But if you didn't have them, become them. Be the ones who start a lineage of people who believe God for miracles. Okay. All right, let me keep moving. Okay. So God wants the mysteries to be revealed in our life, but we gotta believe him for, somebody shout at me real quick, miracles. Miracles. Y'all didn't shout it with faith. Say miracles.
Miracles.
Okay, question. If someone's baking a cake, what is the foundational ingredient that you need for cake? Flour. Everybody, don't matter what cake it is, you need flour. Well, when you're believing God for a miracle, the key ingredient that you need, the foundational, no matter if it's carrot cake or pound cake or, ooh, Jesus, red velvet, chocolate, that we need a cake after service. The foundational ingredient is flour. In the miracle you're believing God for, no matter if it's salvation for a loved one, healing for your body, no matter if it is forgiveness from past sins that you committed, you haven't forgiven yourself. Okay, let's talk big now. Whatever the foundational ingredient is, watch this, faith. And so many people are believing for miracles without the faith. So today, if we're going to believe God for miracles, and tonight we're going to have a night of miracles, miracles don't happen without the ingredient of faith. It's kind of like Big Mama cooking the recipe. And what I found, like people before like 1980, they didn't write nothing down. I don't know how they knew exactly what they was doing, but they never wrote nothing down. Like they had a recipe, but they didn't have a measurement of how all of it, they just had the right ingredients. And the more you work them ingredients in, the more you put faith with expectation in speaking the word of God, the more you, now that leads a little more faith. Don't put your doubt in this. Don't put your pessimistic perspective on this. I'm believing God for something that's got to. Now I need my expectation to rise, and I need God to do something. When you get that, it takes the pieces of our life, the pieces of our situation, the pieces, and it puts together. Write this point down. Let me tell you a story first. Yesterday, because I want you to get it, but I just saw a way that you could see it. Yesterday was my youngest daughter's birthday. Gia turned 2 years old yesterday. That's daddy's baby princess. We call her the joy baby. So one of the things that my wife has an issue with is buying too many toys for our two-year-olds. And one of my responsibilities is to put together stuff that she buys. Fathers, stay strong. Because some of these contraptions seem like they are designed by the devil. Now, if you've never done this before, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But it looks like it's something that comes with 1,050,000 little pieces. And what they really could have done is put it together for us and put it in a box that would have been fine for our children to enjoy. But no. What do? Break it down into a bunch of million pieces and then call us to have an argument with our wife about. No, this seems personal. I need counseling. What I'm trying to say is Gia got something yesterday. And a little fine print, it said, assembly required. And I started to think about all of the pieces that were in that box. And without those pieces having something to put them together, it stays something that is useless until there is somebody who actually takes the time to assemble it. What God told me about miracles for your life, it's not that just some assembly is required, some faith is required for this next thing to come together. All the pieces, God's gonna say, would you just have faith that I can pull those together? Write this point down. Faith puts the pieces together. If we're believing for the miracle, I believe that God is saying, I want faith to rise in this place. Why did I just sing about miracles so many times? Why was I saying, let faith arise? It's because this season of your life is gonna require less acting like everything you believe God can do and actually doing it, having faith to believe. Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith. Now, this blesses me because one of the lines in the song that we kept singing is, I have faith to believe. You have all that I need. Say the first line. I have faith to believe. Say that one again. I have faith to believe. Without faith to believe, the miracle signs and wonders don't happen. So Hebrews 11:1 tells you the first thing that you need is not just faith, but everybody shout at me, now faith. Shout it like it's happening now. Now faith. Okay, so what are you saying to me, Pastor Mike? Most of us have how faith and not now faith. Like, how God gonna do it? How is he gonna make a way? How is he gonna see us through this decision? We came out here on faith and then God, and God's saying, I didn't say how faith. I said, now. Somebody say now. That was not 2 seconds ago, 2 years ago, or 2 months ago. It's right. So what are you trying to say to us, Pastor Mike? Hear me. The disappointment of your past faith does not disable your present faith. So many people won't believe God again because they believed once before. And the how didn't work out how they thought it was. So the how faith is eroding their now faith. And I came to let you know you could have been disappointed in the past and you can still have big faith right now. And somebody's faith needs to be sparked again. I believed and it didn't work out like I thought it was. I believed and they still left my life. I believed and God was giving me a different instruction that I didn't understand. But now. I'm coming to encourage somebody that your faith right now is the thing that's going to change your life. Your faith right now is the thing that's going to change the generational patterns in your life. Somebody shout at me, now faith. Believe again. That's a whole word for somebody. Believe again. Try again. Hold on. Try for the first time. Your mama used to have faith, but you never actually stepped out on faith. Your daddy was a person of prayer, but you never actually used your faith. And God's saying, when's the time? Now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Uh-oh. They said the H word. See, even if it didn't happen last time, the reason that I have to teach this message, the thing you were believing for wasn't the thing you were robbed of. When it didn't happen last time, the thing you were believing for was not the thing that you were robbed of. The enemy won because he robbed you of hope. Dang, that is nasty. He wasn't after the miracle. He was after your hope. Because if you stop hoping, you take away the gas of faith. You missed it because faith is the substance of things. So if you don't hope, you can't have faith. And most of us do not have faith because you stopped hoping the marriage would work. You just stopped hoping you would lose weight. This is who I am. I mean, they love me. Love me, how I am and where I am. All that. No. It's just because the last time you had a bad trainer and they discouraged you and it was the life circumstances converged with your insecurity and it didn't work the last time. And the enemy did not rob you of health. He robbed you of hope. So now it's been 15 years and you stopped hoping to be healed. You stopped hoping to use the gift that God put on the inside of you. You went to that one church that one time and they made fun of you because you couldn't say Mephibosheth. And now, I'm talking about real stuff. You couldn't save Mephibosheth, and they were actually jealous of the gift that was in you unrefined. And so they discouraged you to the point that you didn't lose speaking engagement, you lost hope. And now you're in here and we're talking about miracles and you can't even get revved up at all. Because for miracles to happen, the foundational ingredient is faith. But to have faith, you must first hope. All I came to let everybody know is hoping is helpful. You can hope when you wake up in the morning that today is going to be a good day. I know the last 62 have been horrible, but Father, I feel your grace and your mercy. They follow me, follow me. I thank you that today, that I hope today I don't cuss people out. Y'all don't even hope no more. I hope today my anger doesn't get the best of me. I hope today I walk in integrity. The reason that you can't, you don't even got no bumpers. Like, ain't nothing even stopping you from what you don't even want to do because you stopped hoping. You want a miracle? Start with hope. I hope this year is the last year I'm in financial pressure. Have you even... No, you're begging for something you should be hoping for. Lord, please. Like, that doesn't take any amount of expectation that something is going to change. Somebody say hope again.
Hope again.
Say it again. Hope again.
Hope again.
Now faith is the substance of things what? Hope for. In a world full of cynicism, ideas like the glass is half empty. People thinking the world going to hell in a handbasket. Pessimistic perspective everywhere. You need to become what the Bible says is a prisoner of hope. If I'm going to be chained to anything, I'm going to be chained to hope. Today might be the day. This might be the moment. I believe it's going to turn around. Somebody say hope. Okay. Zechariah 9:12 is where that's found. It says, return to the stronghold, you prisoner of hope. I can hope that my marriage will make it. I can hope that my kids will know Christ. I can hope that I will be healed. Father, I thank you that you would allow hope to become an ember in somebody's soul again right now. Where they have been literally desolate. And they haven't thought that anything good could happen. Father, I thank you that you would unlock hope in them this week, this moment, this day. I thank you that they would hope their situation turns around. Father, ignite their faith with hope. Hoping is free. Hoping doesn't require some long list. Father, they can just close their eyes and with the gift of imagination that you've given us, you, Father, they can hope that they're running a successful business. They can hope, Father God, that their children have forgiven them and they're walking together for next Christmas. Father, let hope come back to your children in the name of Jesus. We're talking about miracles. You can't have miracles without faith, and you cannot have faith without hope. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. And these signs will follow those who believe. So in the song, we say, I have faith to believe. You have all that I need. What? Miracles, signs, and wonders. What? Follow me, follow me. I wish we'd have put in there, they follow the people who believe. They don't just follow people. Their miracle signs and wonders are only tracking people who actually believe they can happen. So in a service like this, when people are like, this is just emotionalism. For you, it will be. they're just super, okay, cool. If you don't believe, it will not happen for you. You can still be here. You can, but if you believe, it says the miracle. Hold on. Where are believers at? Hold on. Where are people that think? Oh, where? God literally saying, where are the people that believe I can turn their situation around this week? I don't need a year to do it. I don't need a doctor to do it. I can. Do not let any person rob you of your belief. Do you know how many times People have told me it's impossible. Thank God you're not God, because the God I serve says with man it's impossible. Uh-oh. But with me, all things, all of them. Oh, y'all, you better get away, because you hyping me up. Somebody say all things. This is why if your family doesn't believe, let them have it. Stop trying to convince people without the core ingredient of miracles that God can do it. You're wasting your breath. You'll see the fruit of my miracle. You'll be asking to drive it. You'll be asking to spend the night in it. You'll be asking for it. We wasting time. That's the purpose of the miracle, because once God does the miracle, that's when unbelievers be like, well, I mean, hold on, what? The Bible even tells us the purpose of miracles are for the unbelieving. Y'all don't read your Bible. The reason God wants to do a miracle in your life, because they may not understand the faith, the hope, the fuel, but they'll understand they was a hoe. They were a straight up Merry Christmas, ho, ho, ho. They were. And how in the world are they celebrating 15 years of commitment to one person? That's a miracle. That's when cousin June be like, hey, me and Trisha, we've been together like 22 years, but for real, I only been faithful like 2 weeks. Oh, y'all, these are real stories. Stop. So, cuz, like, I know you be on that Jesus stuff. Some of y'all so religious, y'all can't even take people where they are. I know you be on that Jesus stuff, and you know, I'm more of a, like, you know what I'm saying? The universe, you know what I'm saying, brings the things that we need when we need them to be able to. Why is it the most undeep people try to get the most deep? Like, you know, because we're from the earth, the dirt, the sky, the moon, the birds. Okay. And they really be like. But at some point, the miracle you walk in becomes the message you can teach. What I'm saying to you is, maybe it would be more important that you become the miracle than trying to explain how you're going to see the miracle. Okay, okay. Somebody say, I believe.
I believe.
Okay, so if the miracle signs and wonders are attached to our belief, something I realized, write this down, miracles don't take massive faith. Miracles take a moment of faith. I just need to help people, because people see me and they go, you look like crazy faith. I don't walk in crazy faith 24/7. Oh, y'all don't want me to be real. I don't walk around like, yes. Today, God is going to heal MJ today. There are days that I look up, I'm like, golly. I don't even want to pray. You know what I'm going to say anyway, just if you want to, then. No, okay, y'all want to be fake. This is every day. I'm just like, coming up to another year of school. He did good, but is he ready to go to the next grade? And who would his teacher, God? I have another child. She'll be starting. Her development is just right on schedule. Like, why couldn't you have? How am I supposed to explain to Gia when she start asking, well, why ain't Bubby? How? I'm not hyped every day to get up in the fight of faith. That crap is tiring. But all it takes is a moment. Sometimes I'll be in the gym and I'll be down and the Holy Spirit said, you know, I gave you a word about your son, didn't you? I forgot. You told me by a certain time he was going to be completely. And in that moment of remembering, it fueled my faith to start hoping again. Hold on, maybe we need to get MJ another facility. He can have his own school. No, y'all missed it. My faith start, I'm going to look at property like maybe MJ's place is a thing and maybe his deficiency is going to become something for other children on the spectrum. Maybe you're using all of, y'all don't hear me? Mo, you know I'm telling the truth. Maybe all things, are working together. But it doesn't take massive faith. Just a moment. And sometimes y'all have been robbed of the massive things God can do because you won't have faith for a moment. There's a misconception that faith has to be massive. But Matthew 17:20 says, Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. This is why the miracle didn't happen. The disciples tried to cast out a demon of a guy and it didn't really work. And the demon was like, and the disciples were like, And then they was like, come out in the name of Jesus. And the demon was like, no, I'm going to kill you. Disciples like, right, we'll be right back. We're going to go get our manager. And they, no, that's what happened. It's like, Jesus, we have a disgruntled demon at the counter trying to figure out, can you do that? Jesus like, get out of there. And the demon's like, and the guy's like, And then later, I'm just showing y'all the, and then they back at the house and they eating some Chick-fil-A. And they like, Jesus, Pastor Polynesian, how did you do this? And now he's speaking to the disciples. So Jesus said to them, the only reason it didn't happen, because some of y'all was in there doing the actions, but you didn't really believe it would work. It was because of your unbelief. Like, you went in there and did the motions. How can you? You did the Mortal Kombat. Finish him, y'all. You did the move. But there was no power. Because there was some menu that's like, this ain't going to really work. In Jesus' name. And then while we laughing, that's how a lot of us do. Let's pray. But make sure you have the OxyContin on deck. You don't really believe the miracle is going to happen. Where the Bible says two or three can touch and agree. You don't really believe it. So it's like, get the OxyContin and God works through medicine too. Yeah, he does work through medicine. But did you even really try to believe for the healing? Just praying don't mean you believe the prayer is going to work. There are so many people who pray with unbelief every day. It's a ritual. There is no revelation in the prayer. And so I'm challenging us as a church. Really believe. He said the demon didn't come out, not because y'all can't cast out demons. Y'all just didn't believe it could happen. For I assuredly say to you, if you have faith as a watermelon seed too big, sunflower seed too big. What's the smallest seed I could? If you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to something massive like that mountain, move. And it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. It doesn't take massive faith. It takes a moment of mustard seed faith. For you to see, somebody shout at me, a miracle. You can have a moment of faith and it moves something massive. So write this down. A moment of faith can move something massive. And I need you to hear it like that because some of the things you're facing are huge. Some of the things we need God's intervention on are things that are so big that it honestly overwhelms us to even pray about it. Okay, can we be honest? Some of y'all, the emotional stuff that's going on in you, you don't really express to God what you really desire and need because it's just overwhelming. The situation with your mama. So then you just start saying stuff like the thing with mom. Because if I start to get down into the weeds of this, and where the offense actually happened and how it stunted my growth in teenage years and how I resented them in my 20s and how I've been faking since I was 35. And now that they're sick, I'm supposed to act like I care. But every time they call, I hate to. It just becomes overwhelming and it's just like the mama thing. What do I pray for? Just. Then we start standing up. Your will be done. Hold on, come on. Let's get some specificity in here. Like, just your will. God's saying, my will considers your words. And I need y'all to hear me say this. God chooses not to do anything on earth without the participation of his children. And so why I'm trying to get you to believe God for miracles is because your miracle may be in your mouth. Oh my God. The reason the enemy has had you so discouraged is because when you don't hope for something, you won't even say it out of your mouth. There are things that you need that are in somebody else's hand. They don't know you need it because you're not even hoping for it and you won't even release it out of your mouth. The miracle is not afar off. It just needs to be identified so that somebody that may have the support. Okay. You remember how I was talking about how faith? Me and Natalie got to a point in our journey with MJ where we were stuck. We didn't know where he was going to go to school. They wouldn't accept him in public school because of his delays. We didn't know what was going on. And the Holy Spirit told me to go to this Maverick City concert. We went to the Maverick City concert here at Victory. Chan saw me in the front and he was like, will you come up and pray at some point? And honestly, how I was feeling at that point was hell no. I do not want to pray. No, can I be honest? Just because I'm a pastor, me and Nat had been crying and arguing earlier that day. She didn't want to come to the concert. I didn't want to come to the concert. But the Holy Spirit said, go to the concert. Then we tried to sit in the back and said, Pastor Todd, come to the front. I didn't want to sit in the front. I wanted to sneak in the back. And I wanted to be not me. I didn't want to be the person of faith. I wanted to pout. Can I be honest? I'm like, this is not freaking fair. You're going to do all this stuff. And then somebody who remember a moment of faith I had said, let's have the man of God come up and pray. Thanks, Chandler Moore. And then I came up. And because I'm authentic, I had to share where I was at. I said, today I'm hurting. I'm frustrated. My wife is on the front row crying because we're believing God in faith. Well, just me doing that in the moment, I had no clue that the young lady who had a master's degree in special education came in the door 5 minutes before, an hour after the concert had started, and sat in the back. And the Holy Spirit had already been telling her that she was supposed to quit her job and come and serve our family by helping MJ progress. I'm up there mad, and God's working a miracle. They're a mess, but God's working a miracle. I'm about to shout. I'm up there misunderstanding the sovereignty of God. And he's working a miracle. That young lady said that was the moment she knew she was supposed to quit the job. She went and put in her 2 weeks notice, having not even talked to us yet. I know what God said. That girl came into our house and started working with my son. Within 3 weeks, he was potty trained after 6 years of peeing and pooping on himself for years. I'm going to tell you a real testimony today. I'm talking about the baby can spell yellow, blue, red. He can count money now. I dare somebody to shout with me for a miracle. It's a miracle. Shout at me, miracles.
Miracles.
And we're still in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Now watch. I want you to see. Miracle is not finished. A miracle is what I need to the next step to a miracle. And that's why the enemy would love to rob you right now of hope. Because so many of us have made so many steps forward in faith. We've made so many steps. But if we stop here, if we quit here, if we give up here on our journey of sobriety, if we stop here on our process of purity, if we stop here, we miss out on the fulfillment of the promises of God that he wants to give to us. Okay. All right, let me just finish. 10 minutes. Here we go. The lyric of the song says, I'm not enough, but just one touch is more than enough for a miracle. So a moment and touching Jesus can change everything. It made me think of the woman in Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Let me read it to you, and then we'll go home. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years, she had spent everything she had to pay them. But she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus. So she came up behind him through the crowd and she touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Immediately, the bleeding stopped and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone from him. What the? So he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my robe? His disciples, Jesus, with all due respect, look at the crowd pressing around you. Everybody's touching you. Who touched me? Man, he losing it. But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell on her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, daughter, your faith. Your what?
Faith.
Not your facts. Not what all the doctors told you. Not your family. Your faith has made you well. Not even touching me. You missed it. He didn't say your touch. Your faith has made you well. Now go in peace. Your suffering is over. The reason for the miracle is that your suffering be over. Okay? So remember I'm talking about the mystery of the miracle. So let me give you just three things right here. This woman had the mindset of a miracle. She had expectation, and watch this word, anticipation. These are two words that you need for the miracle. The mindset, can I show it to you in Mark 5, 28? For she thought to herself, mindset. She's sitting there bleeding. Jesus coming to town. Jesus, I thought that's Jesus. Jesus. Who's coming? You talking about the man who heals people? When are you going to be here? Today? Okay. She's not with the crowd of people. She said, what if I get close enough to the one they call healer, not to have even a conversation. If he is who they say he is, all I have to do is touch what's touching him. All I have to do is get close enough to touch the hem of, she thought it to her. Her thoughts made her get up in pain. Ugh. 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 She probably looked crazy to everybody else. She might have had to start earlier to anticipate where they would be. because she couldn't run at the same pace as everybody else. But her expectation and anticipation put her in position for a miracle. If you're not expecting it and you're not anticipating it, don't be surprised when it don't happen. Yeah. All right. Expectation plus anticipation equals, no, not a miracle, action. See, the miracle requires you to do something. What if she would have heard about Jesus and stayed in her place of pain? There's no intersection where she touches Jesus. Most of us have stopped moving because we've stopped hoping. We have no faith, and so we don't have expectation and anticipation. Today, I want you to get active. Whatever you're expecting and anticipating, do an action this week to prepare for it. If you're believing your debt is going to be paid off, start an account and put as much as the, start a free one. And just label the account, money to bless others. My expectation plus my anticipation is now making me move to action. Some of y'all are supposed to write a book. Get the document and put my book. Save. Chapter one. And if it don't say nothing else, y'all missed it. It's more than you did last week. And it's honestly more than you're going to do in the next 10 years if you don't move into action. This woman had a mindset of miracles. The other thing that she had, just put this down. Miracles require a move. If you are going to see the miracle, move. Just move. Well, I want to release an album. Release a song. Forget the album. Because at this point, it's too overwhelming to do that. Well, I want to start a nonprofit. Serve at somebody else's. Move. Well, I want to become a fashion designer. Clean your room up. Let's just see what clothes you have. You be finding stuff. When you find stuff in your own stuff, like, dang, I didn't even know I had it. It's because you're dirty. If you want, let me just be honest with you. Everybody shout at me, move. The action is a sign that you actually expect something. Okay. But she wasn't just moving towards anything. She wanted a miracle, so she had to find the maker of the miracle. The maker of every miracle is, watch this, Jesus. Say his name.
Jesus.
Say his name.
Jesus.
I don't want you to think this is anything like just positivity, moving towards your purpose, like going towards the great things that are planned for you by the universe. No, 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 no. Miracles come from a maker. This woman didn't go just touch any rabbi's robe. She probably tried it though. She probably, the Bible tells us she did so many things trying to get healed. She probably was trying random wild stuff. Put the smoke over me and throw the herbs on me. And she probably tried, but she said, you know what? I got to put and attach my hope to someone that I know has a track record of miracles. The one that keeps doing them. Somebody shout his name, Jesus.
Jesus.
She said, and she had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. The miracle is going to happen when you move towards Jesus. Shout his name.
Jesus.
The Rose of Sharon. Shout his name.
Jesus.
The Lion of Judah. Shout his name. The Lamb of God, shout his name.
Jesus.
Wonderful Counselor, shout his name.
Jesus.
The Mighty King, shout his name.
Jesus.
The Everlasting Father, shout his name.
Jesus.
The priest that stands between me and God, where I no longer gotta come to somebody and offer up a bull through the blood of Jesus. I can now have a real relationship with God. Shout his name.
Jesus.
Everlasting God. Shout his name.
Jesus.
Prince of Peace, shout his name.
Jesus.
Way maker, shout his name.
Jesus.
Miracle worker. We're not attaching our faith to a concept, an idea. We are attaching the miracle to the miracle maker. And his name is?
Jesus.
Okay. Listen. Pastor Mike, why are you telling us? Because I believe miracles are about to start erupting in this house. No. I'm not just saying that. Remember I told you we're going to worship on the word, and part of that is worshiping with an understanding. You're going to be in the presence. Some of y'all are going to come back tonight at 6 o'clock. We're going to have 2 hours of just unrestrained worship. Whatever happens, happens. We're going to pray. We're going to just what, but in those environments, and as you create them in your home, and as you, what's going to end up happening is the miracle worker is going to give you instructions. He's going to tell you to cut certain things off. We ain't talking about that yet. He's going to tell you, hey, this is what I need you to do. And your obedience to move towards Jesus is going to create miracles that no man could do. And see, this is the crazy thing about miracles. When you get a miracle, miracles start multiplying into other miracles. Y'all remember when Jesus did the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000? It would have been a miracle if he just literally took, yeah, I'm okay. If I was a disciple, I would have thought when he asked for the fish and the loaves that took the little boys, they stole the little boys' Long John Silver snack pack. Number two combo at Long John Silver's. Oh, that sounds good. When they stole that, it would have been a miracle if he would have just fed the disciples. You took this little bit and the 12 disciples and Jesus, they would be like, hold on, everybody. We need to eat to replenish ourselves, to minister the world. It would have been a miracle if just 12 people ate. The Bible records that when the miracle worker starts moving, it is in his nature not to just do a miracle for a select group of people. When the miracle worker starts doing miracles, it's to jumpstart somebody else's faith to believe he could do the miracle in their life. The disciples didn't just eat. The Bible records almost 20,000 people ate that day because one miracle multiplied into seven. I believe that miracles are about to start popping off in this church in a way that's going to start other miracles. And if you don't have faith to believe it, you sit there. But if you have faith to believe that we're walking into a season of miracles, signs, somebody's faith should be erupting right now. This is a sign. My family will be healed. My family will be saved. Sit down. Sit down. Y'all don't get it yet. It's about to start popping off in here. Starting right now. Miracles happening at my job. Miracles happening in my home. Miracles happening in my car. Miracles seen and unseen. Miracles. Because the crazy thing about this story is this story of this woman getting healed is the miracle inside the miracle. It's a multiplied miracle. I told y'all to write down the point, multiplication of miracles. I want you to, because this is what I believe is going to happen. The truth of the matter is the only right reason that Jesus is going through the city where this woman was going to be at was because Jairus, an official, had come to Jesus and said, will you come to my house? Because my daughter is dying. So Jesus is on a miracle mission for somebody else. But somebody else's miracle is the intersection of my miracle too. And because, oh, I feel the presence of God. Because he was walking to heal somebody else. This woman had the audacity to move towards Jesus. She hoped today was the day. After 12 years of disappointment, after 12 years of being broke, she still was hoping. Today, if I just touch his robe. She touches the robe. And as soon as this woman is made whole, word comes that Jairus' daughter is dead. Now, you may be thinking, oh, I'm the woman, I'm getting healed. Wow, touch this, whoa. But the truth of the matter is, some of you in this story identify more with Jairus. That you've seen God heal everybody. And while he was healing everybody, the thing you were believing for died. How do you think Jairus must have felt to watch the miracle of this woman and be like, all right, Jesus, all right, well done. Why you turn around and look at her? She was already healed. You said yourself, you felt the virtue leave. Keep moving. I'm on a time. I'm the one who came and got you. She's the beneficiary of my faith. I'm the one who came and got you, and she just happened. Now you want to sit around and have a conversation? My situation is dying. You're being compassionate towards somebody who already healed? Word comes. Mark chapter 5. While he was still speaking, you still talking to her? Jesus, she married now. They got kids. I'm the one having the miscarriages. I'm the one on IVF. You give them another child? They got a vacation home? We're staying with my mother-in-law? And I'm faithfully serving. And I'm giving and I'm sowing and you still talking to them? And the messenger arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. And they told him, sorry to inform you, sir. Your daughter is dead. There's no use in troubling the teacher now. Now, this messes me up every time because their first thing was not to grieve with him. It was to tell them, don't bother Jesus no more. People who do not believe like you do, their first response is to discredit your Savior. Because your situation looks dead. Stop going to that church. Stop believing God. I guess all the prayer doesn't work. Why wouldn't you grieve with me? Why wouldn't you speak life with me? Because they think somehow that a dead situation discredits our living Savior. And this is where most people give up because they believe the lie that, yeah, I guess God did. I guess he failed me. I guess this is not. But watch this. Don't bother the teacher now. But Jesus, talking to this other woman, like, I'm so grateful. Yes, God bless you. Me bless you. Yes. Hold up. Yes. All right. God bless you. I'm still coming. Just hold on. I'm still coming to your situation. I'm still coming to your marriage. No. I know that they said she's dead. But what I want you to do, Jairus, watch it. Don't be afraid. Just have faith. Don't be afraid right now. I know what they just said. Don't be afraid. Just have faith. You can't have faith if you don't have hope. So what he was telling him, hope that I'm about to change this situation. I know it seems crazy, but just start hoping right now. Every step is a step of hope that turns into faith. That's why the scripture says we walk by faith and not by every step they were telling him. She was dead. But every step, Jesus' instruction to him is believe she living. He literally tells them, she not dead. She's taking a nap. Midday nap is good for everybody. When you hit past 30, that 45 minutes, it's a resurrection. Bring me back to life. Drooling everything. She says she's just sleeping. The intersection and the interruption are intentional. God did not want to heal the sick girl. He wanted to resurrect her. They wanted a healing. He wanted a resurrection. So he scheduled the healing of a woman with the issue of blood just long enough to let her die so he could say she's asleep. It was intentional. What you are saying is an interruption. Maybe God intentionally setting you up for a miracle that nobody else could do. Maybe the intersection of them leaving, the stuff being a mess, people not seeing your true value, maybe all of that is a beautiful setup for God to not just heal something, but to bring something back to life. What is more of a miracle? Something that's breathing being healed or something that's dead coming back alive? He said, what I'm about to do in your life is about to get me a lot of glory. So the dead things are about to come back. I'm talking about a miracle. I'm talking about a miracle. That intersection that you think is the hardest thing in your life may be an invitation to a miracle. Get it in your mind. What is that thing that you're like, God, how in the world are you going to do this? He said, watch me work. Watch me work. And this is why we have to embrace the mystery of a miracle. Everybody say mystery.
Mystery.
Put it on the screen, the mystery. The truth of the matter is nobody likes a mystery. I want concrete. I want sure. What if every time you went to a restaurant, they had a mystery dinner for you? So look, somebody's like, won't do it. I left. Just think about it. What if every time you about to turn on the TV, you didn't have a remote. It's like a mystery show. With our lives, God wants mystery. She said, that's scary. But what I started to see is that the mystery, if we embrace it, separate the my right there. Yeah. My theory. But if I change the E to an O, the mystery becomes my story. Oh. And if you want to see a miracle, somebody say you're looking at a miracle. Every mystery of my life becomes my story that gives him glory. When I embrace the mystery, I'm actually embracing the miracle that will turn into my story. And you may not have been there when I didn't understand it. But if I embrace what only God can do, it turns into my story that gives God glory. And today I'm inviting you into the mystery so that your story can be a story of miracles. The reason me and Natalie have chosen to share our journey openly is because we're in the middle of a miracle. And, it's challenging. And people, I had somebody like, he always shared that story. The Bible says we overcome him. The one who's trying to suggest for me to lose hope. By the blood of the Lamb, that's what Jesus has done. But I have a part in it too. It's the words of my testimony. And so today, my son's sitting in service on his iPad in with his headphones on, trying to keep his sensory together, hopefully not bothering too many people. I want him in the atmosphere of miracles. I don't care what anybody else says. I know one touch, I feel the presence of God. In the atmosphere where faith is rising, MJ can be a modern day. It's not for the Bible. It's for today. And you don't have to believe it. But one day, I'm standing boldly. And some of you are like, well, what if it doesn't happen? Then God chose for it not to happen. But it's not because I did not believe. Without faith, it's impossible. And you've already stood at the finish line of your problem saying what the end is going to be, and you've not exercised any faith. I'm telling you right now, this church will be a church of miracles, signs, and wonders. But it starts with us having faith to believe, standing everywhere. Today, I want to invite you to embrace God in the middle of the mystery of your miracle. Today, God, I believe you. Hands lifted everywhere. Father, I thank you. Oh, I feel the presence of God. Today, somebody's faith and belief has been reignited. Now miracles can happen. Before, it was just a song we were singing. But now we got the ingredients. We have our hope that fuels our faith, and our faith that now fuels the miracle. So now we can sing with understanding as we worship on the word. I have faith to believe. I have faith to believe. You have all that I need. Miracles, signs, and one. Come on, lift it up. Say, I have. It's starting right now. I don't have to look anywhere else. It's in Jesus. Oh, I feel the presence of God. The addiction is no match for Jesus. The pornography addiction is no match for Jesus. The addiction to substances or food is no match for Jesus. The depression is no match for Jesus. The death is no match for Jesus. The grief is no match for Jesus. I have faith to believe you. Miracle, signs, and wonders. Woo, I feel it. So, if you need a miracle in this house, I need both hands lifted. Yeah. If you're at home, lift your hands right now. Woo, I feel the presence of God. Oh. Today, you have been equipped to believe for the miracle for yourself. You don't need Pastor Mike to pray for you, because you can hope. So we're going to do it right now. I want you to close your eyes and begin to hope for what you're believing for. Yep. God, I'm hoping that my whole family will be saved. I'm hoping that there would be intimacy and transparency in my marriage. Come on. I'm hoping that you would heal my brother. I'm hoping that you would heal me of the trauma of my past relationships so that I will be ready to walk into the one you have for me. Come on, just hope for it. I hope that I cannot be angry anymore. I hope that you'll allow the gifts that you've placed on the inside of me to impact somebody else. God, I'm hoping that I can get healthy. Come on, whatever it is. God, I'm hoping that you would allow me to walk in security instead of insecurity. Uh-oh, hope is coming into the room. I can feel it. God, I'm hoping that you turn my career from something I hate to do to something I passionately love to do. God, I'm hoping that you mend the brokenness between me and my children who are not in contact right now. I'm hoping that you take the name that you've given me that people have tried to smear, and I'm hoping that you use it for your glory. Come on, whatever it is, just hope. I'm hoping that you transfer the wisdom that I need to raise these kids. God, I didn't have a father, and so now I have to be a father. God, give me wisdom. I'm hoping, Father God, that you would turn the aggression into an anointing. Come on, just hope. Father, I'm hoping that you would take this jealousy and turn it into generosity. Father, you hear your children all over the world hoping, becoming prisoners of hope. God, I thank you that the miscarriage is not my last attempt. God, I thank you for being a restorer. Heal my body. Heal my mind. Come on, you can hope for it. Heal my emotions. The trauma that happened to me, God, heal me of the consequences of the abuse I gave to other people, Father. Come on, right now, let's pray real prayers. I'm hoping healing is happening right now. Now, Father God, by your Spirit, I thank you that now you are turning our hope into faith, that we believe that if anybody has the power to do it, you can do it. Your word speaks the faith that moves mountains. Father, we don't have to have massive faith. We just today are creating a moment of faith that you're changing our situation. And however you want to do it, we'll be faithful to believe you. Father, I thank you that crazy faith would arise in this room and all over this world. Father, I thank you that now the miracles that you want to do, you can do, because we supplied our part. Hope and faith. We expect. We anticipate. We're going to move this week and do our part. But God, we step back from the part. We cannot make a miracle. Only you can. So we embrace the mystery of how you want to do it. When you want to do it, where you want to do it. You're God and you're God all by yourself. You don't need us to help you with that. All you need us to do is supply the faith. And we have started hoping today. And our faith now is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that are unseen. God, I thank you that the mysteries are becoming miracles. Ooh, I felt that. The mysteries. How is God going to do it? I just know that he working. And it's going to become a miracle. Just one more time all over. Can we lift this up? I have faith to believe. Just lift it up. Say, I have faith to believe. Come on, with faith, say. You have all that I need. We're looking to Jesus. Miracles, signs, and wonders. Whoa. Follow me, follow. Just one more time. We trust you, God. You have all that I need. You're going to use everything. Miracles, signs, and wonders. Follow me, follow. You're looking at a miracle. Somebody needs to get faith because you're in the middle of it. But the fact that you're here, you say,
you're looking at a miracle.
No, look at somebody and say, neighbor, I want you to know something. Tell them, say,
you're looking at a miracle.
Everything that I've been through, the fact that I'm still here, the fact that I still got praise on my lips. Whoa! The greatest miracle you can have is accepting Jesus. So right now, if you're in this place or you're watching online and you want to experience a miracle right now, The miracle of salvation is the miracle that Jesus provides for every single person who would believe. And I know culture tells you, you need to clean up. You need to get out of this. You need to stop that. But Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary, and I'll give you rest. You're tired of carrying the load of life by yourself, and you want to put your faith in someone who literally will walk with you through every situation and lead and guide you into all truth. I want to introduce you to a man named Jesus. He is our salvation. He is the greatest thing that could ever happen to us. He is the answer. And it took me from being a liar, a manipulator, somebody who was addicted to pornography. And it didn't make me a perfect man, but it made me a progressing man. And right now, there's somebody that's listening or in this room right now who your life has intersected with this moment. You don't even know why you're watching this right now. You don't even know how you ended up here right now. It may be your anniversary. It may be your friend sent you the link. But God's saying right here is the intersection of your life and your miracle. And all you have to do is make a move on the count of three. If that's you and you want to make Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior, or you want to come back to Jesus, I just want you to shoot your hand up in the air, bold, strong. Hold on. My sister didn't even wait till three. She said, I got to do it now. One, two, all over the world. Three, shoot your hands up. Oh, I feel the prayer. Transformation Church. This is what we believe. You're looking at a miracle. Oh, you're looking at a miracle. I see you. I see you. At Transformation Church, we're a family. Nobody prays alone. So would everybody just lift your hands and say, God, thank you for sending Jesus just for me. Today, I accept the mystery of salvation. I believe that you lived, you died, and you rose again just for me. And today, I surrender my life. I give you my past. I give you my present and I give you my future. I repent and I turn to you. Take me, use me, change me, transform me. I'm yours in Jesus' name. Would somebody give God the biggest praise you got? Oh, I'm talking about miracles are happening. Can we just bless the God of miracles? We're going to sing it one more time. I dare you to just lift it up. I have faith to believe. Say,
I have faith to believe.
Yes.
You have all that I
come
need.
Come on, lift it up.
Miracles, signs, and wonders. Follow me.
Hey.
Follow me.
I have faith.
I have faith to believe.
You can do whatever you want to, God.
You have all that.
Trust and believe.
Miracles, signs, and wonders. Follow me, follow me.
If you just gave your life to Christ, I want you to text SAVE to the number on your screen. I feel the power of the Holy Ghost here. Text SAVE to the number on the screen. And we want to help you. We want to walk with you. We want you to get in small groups. We want you to get in community. We want you to keep coming back. We want you to get in a good a Bible-based church and build your life. It don't have to be Transformation Church. We want you to get in a place where you can grow. Because I'm telling you, this time next year, you won't even recognize you. God's about to transform you. God can do everything. I'm telling you, He's a good God. Hear what I'm saying to you. Right now, we're about to dismiss service. Next week, I believe God's going to do a miracle in this place, but we don't got to wait till next week. Tonight. Everybody say tonight. I done told the worship team, they got a few songs prepared. Wear comfy clothes. Don't come in here trying to be cute. If two people show up or if 2,000 people show up, it doesn't matter. This is not for anybody else. Tonight, we're going to put everything that we've learned in the last 4 weeks, we're going to put it into practice. We're going to express our love to God, and we are going to give Him everything that we have. And next week will be Flood Sunday. Some of y'all, the expression is going to be outward. People haven't even seen that you really about this life now. And next week you're gonna go public. You're not gonna keep hiding this relationship you have with God. So sign up for baptism. We're gonna see God do a miracle. Somebody shout at me, miracles. If you need further prayer, I'm gonna have the worship team just keep this going for a second. I'm gonna ask the prayer team to just come. There are people that need prayer. And I just feel that there's something gonna stir right here. You need agreement for what God's doing in your life. And so until next week, I want you to go out and live a transformed life. And I want to see everybody else tonight at 6 p.m. We will be streaming, so I need everybody to be ready. We're going to be in the presence of God. And if you need prayer, I want you to come. We love you, and we'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock. Say, I have faith to believe.
Hey, I want to take a moment again before we jump off and say thank you. Our church is not built on one individual, but on the sacrifice of so many. And you being a part, it means the world. So thanks for watching the message. I also want to say thank you to the thousands of people around the world who are generous. It means the world. And we are able to represent, we're able to be generous and meet the needs of people because of your giving. If you haven't taken the step to give, trust me, there is no pressure at all. But if you feel led, you can text the word give to 828282, or you can go online. When we partner together, God uses our generosity to make a difference. Again, if you haven't, take a moment to subscribe to the YouTube channel. And more than watch it on YouTube, join us on Sundays. Every single Sunday we're here, 1045 CST AM. We would love to see you. And like we always say, go out and live a transformed life.